Wow, I am finally getting a chance to catch up with RSC member emeritus, really. It's been a while since you performed with us.
It has been.
Jerry Kernahan, who many of you will remember. Jerry's performed, goodness, all over the place. D.C., every time at Baton Rouge, down in Red Stick at LSU. You went overseas, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Belgium for 6 weeks.
Ooh.
That seemed like just 6 weeks.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 244, Comedy Done Right. Before I left Los Angeles for the Kennedy Center and then moved to Chicago this summer, I sat down with Jerry Kernahan at the Farmer's Market in L.A. to pick his brain about the wonderful production of Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors he was in at A Noise Within in Glendale, California. Now, we've talked about the theater company A Noise Within before. Our own Michael Faulkner performed there, too, in a production of Measure for Measure a year or so ago. But this production was a huge hit with rave reviews, and I got Jerry to talk about what went into making such a successful production. It was phenomenal, and I'm not the only person to say this. All the reviews were over the moon, and that's why I went, because why waste time? Congratulations on that gig.
Thanks, yeah.
How many Dromii did you play?
Two.
Both of them,
yeah. I played both Dromios. Dromii.
Explain to us the conceit, if you can, the directorial concept for this production.
Well, Michael McKetty was our director, and he came in with this whole concept of it taking place in 1920s in a burlesque company. So, and he had really done his research. So everything was, first off, the Shakespearean text, but filtered through this burlesque company doing its production of Shakespeare, which actually, because of his research, he found out was a very often occurrence, happened quite a bit.
Really?
They would do three acts,
yeah,
in burlesque. And the first would be the comics.
Mm-hmm.
The second would be the dancers, which we all know about burlesque. And then the third would be them doing, a lot of times, a Shakespeare play.
Really?
Now, it would be a truncated version, but it would be...
Abridged.
Abridged, yes, of course. You guys had to steal it from somewhere. And so it would star the comics, and believe it or not, the dancers would filter in. They usually didn't let them talk, but every once in a while, they would give one of the dancers a talking role, and they called her the talking girl. And if you notice in our production, the courtesan, who had that really horrible accent...
Fantastically horrible.
Oh, she was so good.
Yeah.
She's so good at being bad.
Yeah.
She was our talking girl. And so that's where he got the idea. And, man, it really fleshed out just all the way through and really supported the production.
It really did, and it was impressive on a number of levels, because you called yourselves, what, the something players of Glendale?
The Burlesque on Brand, because Brand was the street that we were on.
But as part of this intro, you guys, they introduced every player as their type. So you were the broad comic.
The top banana. I was the top banana, which was the spot that was reserved for what we call today the headliner.
Okay.
And so the intro was all of us introduced as our burlesque characters.
Sam, can you remember what the characters were?
The top banana, the ethnic comic, the drag comic,
yeah,
the old actor, the Shakespearean actor,
yes,
played wonderfully by Bill Hunt, the ingenue,
yeah,
the ventriloquist,
yeah,
which paid off well,
yeah,
in the end, and those
were the grand dame,
which was like a Sophie Tucker-ish,
yeah, okay,
character.
And you had your introductions, and then you all came out through this big, you had the burlesque girls holding their big fans,
yeah,
and then you guys would appear out from behind and say a line or do a bit.
Yeah, they did a little fan dance, and then they would introduce each one of us, and as we'd come out, what Michael told us was he wanted something that your character would do as an introduction, and just, you know, people. It was such a creative cast that there were ideas flying every rehearsal. It was really excellent, and we had a very short rehearsal, 3 weeks total. Mm. 3 weeks total. So, you know, he cast it really well, and people would bring in so many ideas that he was able to just start filtering.
Wow.
filter. And
now, did you know this ahead of time? Did you go to this audition because you went, wow, this sounds like a great concept, or did you discover this at the first table read?
No, I knew it at the audition, but I didn't go because of that. I went because it was a Noise Within, fantastically well-known theater company out here, and they're now Equity, another reason I went. They were going to pay.
Yeah.
And also because I've always wanted to play the Dromios in comedy, and a lot of times it's done with two actors, one playing each role, and they just try to get them to look alike. And I've seen and been in one of those productions and seen a few.
I've seen that too, where they give each Dromio, played by different actors, a distinctive nose or distinctive hat or something that makes them twins.
But it never really works.
Yeah.
The payoff is never the same.
Well, and the comedy isn't the same either, because there isn't the risk of something really going wrong. Watching you and the guy playing the Antipholus, what was his name?
Bruce Turk.
Watching you guys run around disappearing out of one door and coming in the other door as your twin adds to the excitement of the thing.
Yeah, much like a reduced Shakespeare Company show, the backstage antics and the backstage choreography could stand on its own as a show. I think I killed two interns during the course of the show, just running them over backstage.
Just add them to the list.
Hey, well, you know, listen, it was an intern. They got college credit, even though they died.
What? And did your reduced Shakespeare Company training come into good stead? Stand you in good stead?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, with our shows, you know, we have to really, you have to flip that switch quickly. And of course, you know, you guys don't ask from us the depth that Shakespeare requires. But having to do it quickly for so many years certainly it lends itself to this, to the problems that I was having with this. And also, because it was slapstick, because it was vaudevillian, burlesque, you know, I had a lot of ideas that we've all used.
Yeah.
And you guys have always said, and I've always been a firm believer and a follower of the fact that comedy is specific, period, or else it ain't comedy.
Right.
And Michael, our director, was very on board with that, as was Bruce Turk, who was playing the Antipholi. And so every single beat, every single moment was choreographed with the specificity that we do when we rehearse an RSC show.
Well, and you're a fight choreographer, so you know about rehearsing and doing things over and over and over to be exactly right.
Yeah, and that's the physical, that certainly covered the physical, but I'm also talking about the comedy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about landing the lines and, you know, the looks. And if you saw Bruce and I, you know, we would take our hats off at the same time. There were a lot of takes, you know, silent takes that they're not in the script.
No.
And we found that, and I think, I hope that gave it its own life and its own vaudevillian life underneath what was also going on with our character.
Well, and actors always have to bring themselves to the role, and it's the good director who lets their actors do this, you know? I mean, spare me from Robert Wilson making his actors be automatons. You know, spare me.
Yeah, no, that would not have worked in this show, without a doubt.
How was the script already edited by the time you got in there, or did he make further cuts after you had been rehearsing?
No, he had done a really good quality cut. Michael, again, can't sing enough praises about this director, but he had done a great quality cut before we hit the first table read, and taken all the antiquities and old allegories and hilarious puns that were hilarious 400 years ago out of it. And
hilarious in air quotes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And he had, you know, really taken that stuff out of it and gotten right to the meat of the story and only kept what was necessary. And what we found was that the necessary stuff, especially between Antipholus and Dromio, was banter. It was the source of vaudevillian and burlesque banter. And so it actually adapted really easily, because once we started doing it with those kind of rhythms, we realized exactly how to play it, you know, and exactly all we then had to work on was a relationship.
And he allowed you to bring your own bits. I mean, even in rehearsal, you were allowed to say, hey, what if I...
Oh, without a doubt, that was, you, just as you guys do, he was very much open to that. So, you know, we had a lot of Lotzi in there, things that were just, again, you'll never find them in a Shakespeare script, but that were, we just invented on the thing, the whole thing with the money.
Yeah.
Money never changed hand to hand. It was always thrown and caught. And so then we added sound effects for that, and money always, and through the whole thing, that was followed.
What was that expression? You called it Lotzi? Is that what you said?
Lotzi, yeah.
What's the etymology?
Lotzi is a commedia dell'arte term about repetitive business.
Okay.
That hopefully is funny. If it's not funny, it's just called business.
You know what? I tell you, the thing that made me laugh out loud several times was when he's whipping you. He's whipping you on the ass, and you're just going, ow, 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 ow. Hysterical. Did you find this in rehearsal?
Yeah. He takes this rope's end. He sends me for a rope's end, and because I've been such a bad slave, he whips the hell out of me. And at one point, he knocks me down, and he stands over me, and he's facing one way, and I'm facing the other, and I'm on my knees, and he just starts whipping me. And we were doing it in rehearsal, and I just said, well, let me, you know, obviously, I'm going to have some reaction, and he keeps doing it.
Right.
And there's another portion of that scene going on while that's happening where they're describing us as crazy.
Yeah.
So I said, well, then wouldn't it be great if I just kept reacting? He kept doing it.
Yeah.
And what is the definition of crazy? Doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results. So it worked out really well.
Well, and you said something there that reminded me, you know, there's an abbot. The abbot comes in later, and you threw in a little Lou Costello there. Was that you?
That was me, yeah. We were, I think we were in tech rehearsal, and the Duke, at one point during right at the end, he's trying to figure out what all is going on, and we've just revealed that we're twins, and both sets of twins are on stage, and he says, go call the abbess hither. And I went, Michael, can I try something? He goes, absolutely. So I didn't tell any of the cast, and we're in a dress rehearsal, and he says, go call the abbess hither, and I said, hey, abbess! And it got everybody, broke the rehearsal, broke the cast, and on a nightly basis, it would kill. Now, when we did student matinees, didn't work so well.
These kids today, what the hell do they know?
Yeah, why don't they watch a little Abbott and Costello?
there must have been some bits that you went, oh, this will be hysterical, and they died a death. Did you cut some in rehearsal? Did you cut some after previews? Or?
No, Austin, you know me. That never happens.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Just run it into the ground, regardless.
Yes, stick with it, even if it's flailing. With any comedy, you have to listen to your preview audiences, and there were bits that we were sure were going to work and just fell flat, and then you try them a second time, they said fall flat, and you go, okay,
yeah,
that's enough. We've done that now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Trust me, no actor wants to repeat a bit that's not getting a laugh.
No.
You know, it's like, could you cut that bit? Absolutely.
Yeah, nobody ever says no to that, you know.
Well, and it was an admirably brief, I think less than 2 hours, you know.
With an intermission, it was less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
As it should be.
This is not a show where you need to dwell, and you need to get, if you don't know what's happening by the time you get to the act five, the last scene, then really you shouldn't be at a Shakespeare play, and we haven't done our job.
Right. Well, and it, as Jess, Daniel, and Adam said in the complete works of William Shakespeare Bridge, the Shakespeare's comedies are not as funny as his tragedies. And so to see a production of Comedy of Errors that was actually genuinely funny was just really awesome.
Yeah, no, all the leads, Abby, the girls, all extensive theater, regional theater credits. Bruce Turk has been a regional theater actor for 20, 25 years and has played every major role at almost every major regional theater. So we were coming from a place of experience and, you know, bringing that to it, but to the silliness.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, which always makes it funnier.
Hello. As far as I know, I'm Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall, we'll be touring the complete world of sports abridged in September with performances in Gainesville, Florida, Athens, Georgia, Decatur, Alabama, and New York City at the New Victory Theater in October and November. We'll also be giving two performances of All the Great Books Abridged at Pepperdine University in Malibu and Caltech in Pasadena, California. And we'll be premiering our eighth stage production, The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Jerry Kernion, who, it turns out, played another baggy pants comedian since he last performed with us, with a little company called Cirque du Soleil, maybe? Have you heard of it?
The other cool thing that you have done since you've been working, since you performed with the RSC, you went up and did Cirque du Soleil's brand new show, Banana Spiel.
That's right, Banana Spiel, one of the shortest lived Cirque du Soleil shows, unfortunately. But
what was that like? I remember you talking about that Cirque du Soleil was like you had auditioned for them before or something. This was a company you really wanted to work with.
Yeah, since back in my New York days, I had auditioned for them, and they are, to their credit, a company that has a phenomenal memory of people. So once you're on their radar, they continue to call you. So through the years, they've called me and to come in and audition and to put me in the running for certain shows. And sometimes I was available and went and didn't get it. Sometimes I wasn't available on the road with you guys a couple times. But this one all worked out, and I was flown up to Montreal and auditioned and was given the role that day.
Wow.
And yeah, it was crazy. But unfortunately, it was a troubled production from the start.
It was their attempt to create a show that could play in theaters around the world that wouldn't require existing theaters around the world that wouldn't require tents set up in fields or water tanks built, right?
Right. Their attempt at a proscenium show that did not require certain riggings on the stage, just strictly could go theater to theater. Now, we weren't supposed to do that. We were supposed to sit down for quite a while. But it was ill-conceived. I love Cirque du Soleil. I just talked to them a couple months ago about doing something else with them, and I hope to. But it was just ill-conceived from the start. It was supposed to be their take on vaudeville, mm-hmm. and the director that they had, who was also the writer, just didn't. Cirque doesn't usually write; they create. And because they were doing something different here, they might have needed to approach it a different way. And unfortunately, they didn't. They tried to not write it. So what we were doing every night in front of 3,600 people at the Chicago Theater was making it up, you know. And we would rehearse during the day, and we'd throw something up on stage at night. And as we talked about earlier, comedy is specific, and this was not. And it was general, and it had great, nothing bad about the clowns, the performers. It was an amazingly talented cast, except for myself. And it was, it was not that. It was just that it was just not conceived and executed properly because Cirque was in foreign territory.
Right.
I believe that they could do it and they will do it, but you know, it was great seeing, because I came off the road with Cirque and then went into this production of A Noise Within, and the Cirque show was vaudevillian. A Noise Within, the Comedy of Errors production, was vaudevillian, and it's amazing when you have a great writer how much that stuff still works and still plays. But when you don't, it doesn't. And so that's where we ended up.
I mean, Reed and I, whenever we're talking about what the next RSC show could be, you know, we'll often throw out an idea, and one of us or the other will go, that's a great idea, but boy, that would be fun, but that doesn't feel like a Reduced Shakespeare Company idea. Was Banana Spiel just not like a Cirque du Soleil kind of idea?
You know, I think ultimately no, because the show's closed now, but I think it could have been, had it been... had different steps been taken.
Yeah.
And there was, again, the talent is without question. It's just different steps needed to be taken for it to work.
And the right combination, the right combination of people too. It was David Shiner who was the writer and director, who's a phenomenally talented clown and director, and has worked with Bill Irwin many times. But clearly, combining him with Cirque du Soleil was not a winning combination.
No, actually, let me correct you a little bit. It wasn't with Cirque du Soleil, because he had just done Cirque du Soleil's previous show called Cusa, which is a massive hit and still touring the world. But it was a Cirque show. It was a tent show. Tent shows are very different.
And there's a different expectation when you walk into the tent from an audience standpoint.
Without a doubt. Even though those tents are mobile, it's 2,500 people. But your furthest row is maybe 20 rows back. So you're talking about an intimacy that will allow a lot of the comedy to play, whereas a proscenium house, the 3,600 seat Chicago Theater, one of the biggest theaters in the country, you're not going to get away with the same stuff.
Yeah.
You have to make it specific to what you're playing.
Yeah.
And maybe if we had played in a tent, maybe it would have been a little different, but I still think it comes down to the writing.
Yeah.
I still think there needed to be banter, there needed to be written banter that was refined and over and over, and we just never had that.
You read like an old school sitcom comedy writer. Somebody needed to sit down and write something like that.
And it's funny enough, when I was there, I suggested that to them, and I think at one point they were kicking that around, but again, just so different from the way they normally work that they weren't necessarily willing to go that far at that point.
Right.
Now, that being said, look, Cirque's going to be okay. Just in case you're worried out there, Cirque's going to be okay. They have a fantastic show opening up now, Radio City, called Zarkana, which have a couple of our clowns in it from Banana Spiel. And they have another show out here called Iris, that's opening up. And it's going to open up the Kodak, and they've got a 10-year contract. It's going to play for 10 years. But the Kodak is a proscenium, but they did $30 to $40 million worth of work on the stage. They completely destroyed the stage and rebuilt it for Cirque standards for this show.
Wow.
And that show will play all but the 2 months before the Oscars.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your talking girls via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. We hope you will. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, courtesan Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Catherine Ott, who's probably shelving books in the library as she hears this. No reason, it is just random. Special thanks to Weird Al Yankovic. Talk about comedy done right. Which reminds me of the eternal existential question, if Weird Al and I are the same age, why do I consider him my boyhood hero? And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 244, 730 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
So, it's been a good couple of years for you. You did not kill Cirque du Soleil. I think that's got to go on your credit list.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I just want to say, it's been a great couple of years. I miss working with you guys, but I've been gainfully employed, and as a comedian, clown, actor, idiot, that's not too shabby.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.